to God. Amen? Come on now. They was asleep at the first service, but come on, it's 11:30 now. You all should be wide awake by now. The second crew, all right? Praise be to God. It's so good to see each and every one of you. Another day. We thank God for it, right? Thank God for another day. Each and every day we get, we need to thank God. Even though we had to spring ahead, right, a little bit, all right? You can make up for it tonight. Go to bed an hour earlier. How's that? So we praise God for all his goodness and his mercy and, you know, the promises of God. God is faithful. How many people know that? That God is faithful. You know, amen. So regardless of the situation, circumstance that we find ourselves facing, you know, we always got to hold on to the promises of God. And the one promise is he'll never leave us or ever forsake us, all right, no matter what. That God is going to see us through, all right, bring us through, take us through, however you want to do it, but God is going to be there with you, all right? Sometimes we feel like, you know, God, where you at? You know, but he's standing right next to you, all right? Or if not, he's out in front of you saying, come on, come on, come on. Just keep coming, all right? Well, praise God, all right. So, my task today is to bring you a word, okay? So I had the privilege of preaching on Wednesday night. All right, how many was here Wednesday night? Oh, man, a lot more than the other group, okay. Well, anyway, praise God. So I was so good, they asked me to come back. No, I'm only kidding. More to you. All right? So I was talking to the church about, you know what I mean, kingdom. Because I think in this time and the body of Christ and, you know, everything that we don't understand, you know, Jesus did not preach Christianity. Jesus preached kingdom. All right? Jesus preached power and authority. That's what he preached to his disciples, all right? The disciples were the ones that were going to take over, all right, the ministry of Jesus Christ. And as a body of believers, you understand that as you come, you learn, and everything that you get, that you are enhancing the kingdom of God, all right? You are moving forward, all right, in the ministry that Jesus left to his church, which is the body of believers, each and every one of you in your own different positions and everything, no matter where you find yourself, you're still part of the body, all right? And the body has a head, all right? And the head tells what the body to do, all right? The body don't tell the head what to do, all right? Everybody got that? The head tells the body what to do. And so you have to understand that, you know, kingdom is different from Christianity, all right? Jesus never preached Christianity. Right? And I was, as I was explaining Wednesday night and explained to you today, that Christianity came after Jesus, okay? He taught his disciples for 3 years, and then he died, was crucified, rose again, and, you know, he met them and told them, gave them commission to go forth, all right? And to wait for the endowment of the Holy Spirit, because even though they had all the teaching, they need the Holy Spirit to keep them on track the same way you do. All right, doesn't matter how much you're taught, you still need the Holy Spirit, because he's going to tell you when to speak, when to shut up, right? When to go, when not to go, all right? Because that's his job, because he knows even though we're saved, sanctified, full with the Holy Ghost, we'll still put our foot in our mouth, all right? So that's his job, all right? So we let him do his job, and we'll do our job. But anyway, all right, the first thing that Jesus did with his disciples, okay, in that wedding in the book of John, the wedding of Cana. Thank you. All right, see somebody? Who was that? Great. All right, Terry. All right. The wedding of Cana. The first thing he did, because they had the promise of the Messiah, all right? And the first thing that Jesus did was make them believe that he was who he said he was. That's why he did the miracle, because it said Jesus did that, that they might believe, that they might believe that he was who he says he was. And also, he wanted them to get familiar with the supernatural. That was a supernatural act that happened at that wedding. It was like 30 gallons of water that he changed into wine. So he wanted them to get familiar with the supernatural. All right? That's why we do the supernatural course at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, because we want you to get familiar with the supernatural, because that's who we are. Supernatural things are supposed to happen in our lives, but we, every time they happen, we freak out, all right? So Jesus, everything he did, the miracle, he was letting them know that I am who I am and that, you know, the supernatural is part of your life. If you hang out with me, this is what's supposed to be a part of your life. So he was training them not only of who he was, but he's also training them that you will be a supernatural body, all right, that you will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, all right? That's supposed to be what true believers do. All right, doesn't happen. It's something that we all grow into as our faith becomes stronger, all right? Because you don't want to be like the seven sons of Sceva in the book of Acts, all right? Because they said, Jesus we know, Paul we know, but you? And they put it on them and they ran out with the underwear, you know, and all that. So you don't want that. But anyway, all right, if you look in the book of Acts when it gets to this Christian thing, it was the world that called the disciples Christian. Jesus had died. He had gave them the Great Commission. He ascended. The Holy Spirit came. The church was formed. The church started growing. Paul got saved and the church started growing. And it was in Antioch in chapter 11, all right, where Antioch was a disciple-making machine. And Barnabas heard about it, went and got Paul. They went there. They were teaching for 2 years. And then the people said, they called them Christians. He says, the disciples was first called Christians in Antioch, all right? Why? Because their actions, their behavior, and their speech reminded the world of Jesus Christ. And my question always to the body of Christ is, when is your actions and your behaviors and your speech reminded the world of Jesus Christ, all right? Because that's what we have to understand. Because everybody, just because you call yourself a Christian, you put a fish on your cord and a little cross swinging or a cross hanging on your neck, it don't mean nothing if you did not get on the cross. All right? Because you have to die. All right? This whole thing is about you dying. They didn't understand that Jesus, as he was teaching his disciples, you know, he even told the Pharisees, all right, you destroy this temple, I'll raise it up in 3 days. They don't think they were talking about the physical temple. No, he was talking about himself. All right, and so all of us as believers and all of us that learn to be disciples of Christ, that's why we do discipleship training, that's why we do everything that we do here at King's Fire, so that you understand it's not just about you calling yourself a Christian. Where's the demonstration of the power of Jesus Christ in your life? First in your life, all right? Your life first, and then the rest of the world, all right? Because when Jesus died, all right, and he was rose again when he met his disciples, all right, in the book of Matthew. Matthew 20, you ain't got to turn there, all right? Because half of you ain't got a Bible anyway, you got them phone Bibles, all right? But anyway, Matthew 28, Jesus came to his disciples, all right? He had already commissioned them to go there. He told Mary, she arrived at the tomb first. The sisters is always first. She arrived at the tomb first, no, and she said, tell my brethren to meet me in Galilee. Following the orders of Jesus Christ, here he comes. Jesus is resurrected from the tomb, okay? And he said that, okay, in verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of this age. Amen. All right? This is the Great Commission. This is not a great suggestion. Okay? When you are commissioned, how many have been in the military? You know when you get a commission, you know what time it is. All right? That you don't leave until you get another directive. Because when the commanding officer comes to find you, he wants to make sure you're in the right place. This is the commission to the church. But listen, he said all authority. Because you got to remember, Adam forfeited the authority in the garden. You go back to Genesis, and I tell people this all the time, that if you don't have a great understanding of Genesis, you're never going to understand the rest of this. Because there was a creator who had a plan, and he created us. He created us to be great. He created us to be in his image and in his likeness, to do the things that he has done. Everything you see in this physical world, God spoke it. So if I'm creating his image, which is a reflection, and in his likeness, guess what? What you're speaking in your life, half of the stuff that's in your life is because you spoke it. Good, bad, or indifferent. You spoke it. See, we don't look at ourselves like that. We allow the world to dial the church down to what it was never meant to be. We're supposed to be a force. Jesus said that. All power and authority is given to me. Transfer. Now you go and make disciples. Remember when he called them? He said, you follow me, I will make you fishers of men. He took 3 years and made them fishers of men. Then he hit them and said, now you go. All right, this is what this thing is all about. Genesis principle, reproducing after your own kind. Everything that that God created had a seed in it to reproduce. Apple trees supposed to reproduce apple trees, orange trees, so on and so forth. But we think we're so smart, and we started that GMO, genetically modifying everything. All right? That was never the creator's intent. But we think we're so smart. Okay? Science can only discover. It cannot create. Okay? The scientists, all they're doing is validating that there was a creator. But they have made a science of it. Like they're the ones that know more. No, you do not. And he's going to prove it to them. But we have to understand as believers what God wants for us and what God wants for his church. Understand, Jesus, all right, when he gave them that commission, he was letting them go. Because you got to remember, when he was in Caesarea Philippi, all right, he asked his disciples, he said, who do men say that I am? And they said, well, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, some say you're this, some say you're that. But then he put it on them. He said, who do you say that I am? See, that's the acid test for every believer. Who do you say Jesus is? All right? Doesn't matter what anybody else said. Because you got the world that says he just was a prophet, he was a good man, he was this, he was that. But who do you say that I am? Because he wanted them to know, he wanted to know from his disciples, who do you truly say that I am? And it was Peter who opened his mouth and said that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And at that point, Jesus said, okay, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. In other words, Jesus said, I taught you a lot of things, but I did not teach you that. And he knew at that point that they were hearing from the Father, all right? Because all of us need to hear from the Father. God always showed up through revelation. In the Old Testament, he revealed himself to who he really was. When they needed healer, he showed up as Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals me. You need peace? Jehovah Shalom. I am your peace. God always reveals himself. But Jesus knew at that point, all right, his disciples were hearing from God. And that's when he said, I'm going to build my church upon this rock and the gates of hell should not prevail against it. He wasn't building it on Peter. He was building it on the statement that now the church is going to start getting revelation of the Father and who I am. All right? So you have to understand when he met his disciples, because the church translated is ecclesia, meaning called out or an assembly. In the New Testament, it usually refers to a local group of Christians in the sense of the church is an assembly of baptized believers under the discipline of the word. Discipline is training that corrects. So when you're under the discipline of this word, if there's something in your life that's out of order, that word's going to bring you back in order. Hebrews 4 and 12 says that the word of God's living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division between the soul and the spirit, and the joints and the marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So it doesn't matter what's going on inside of you. Once you hear that word and you've been disciplined by that word is going to bring you back into correction. Because that word's going to make you understand you're thinking the wrong thing. You're acting the wrong way. Because Isaiah 55 says that my thoughts are not your thoughts and your ways are not my ways, says the Lord. As high as the heavens is above the earth, so are my ways above your ways and so are my thoughts above your thoughts. So you want to think like God, you want to act like God, you need to get into this word. Amen? Because that's what disciples do. Disciples are disciplined learners. All right, so you're going to have to discipline your life. You're going to have to turn that TV off at night. Turn that Facebook off. Instagram, Telegram, Billy Graham, all that other stuff. You're going to have to turn that off. If you're going to discipline, discipline is training that corrects. And that's what God does through his word. Parents, you know. All right? You don't wait till your kids are sick. My son is 6'4", all right, 220 plus pounds. I didn't wait till he got like that to bring him under the authority of my voice. I started when he was just a little thing. And at times just had to whack, whack, whack. I was a carpenter. I carried one of them big 5-gallon paints to stir up the 5-gallon paint. And I used to tell him, I used to keep it behind the seat. And I'd pick him up after daycare and all that. I had a football, baseball, all that behind the seat. But then when he started acting crazy, I'd say, you're in the zone. You're in that zone. And he'd keep going. I'd go get my little stick and get behind him and crack on the back of his legs. And he'd yelp a little bit. But it was voice control. You understand? That's why Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. How are you going to know the voice of God if you don't get into this word and understand the way that God thinks about every situation and circumstance in your life? There is no mystery to this. All right? There is no mystery to this. Let him be God and you be who you are because he created you. All right? He created you. Psalms 100 says, we are the sheep of his pasture. He created us. We did not create ourselves. The problem with the world, we don't want to identify with a creator because now we have a voice that we have to listen to. Yeah, it's tight, but it's right. All right? Now we have a voice that we have to listen to. That's why the world doesn't want to accept the creator because now I got to come in line for my foolishness. Now I got to come in line for all the things that I'm doing. But as the church, as a body of believers, you have to understand that we are baptized believers that are under the discipline of the word. They are organized to carry out the Great Commission, the administration of the New Testament ordinances, baptism and Lord's Supper, and to exercise spiritual gifts. When a group of Christians today follow the example, it's the church in the biblical sense of the word. In the New Testament, Christians assemble in churches for fellowship, for instruction, for worship, and to carry out the Great Commission. That's what churches do. We already done assemble. We had fellowship this morning. You had, you know, your bagels and all that other stuff. We already had praise. Now it's the training of the word. Because, you know, in the book of Ephesians, it says, Ephesians 4, that the ascension gift that Jesus left to the church, the apostles, the prophets, all right, evangelists, teachers, and pastors, for what? For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Ministry is work. Every day of your life. Okay, you got to understand, you call yourself a believer, you're a believer every day. You're a believer on your job. You're a believer in your house. You don't separate this when you leave here, you just change into something else. You're a believer no matter where you go. And that's the problem with us, that we don't know how to separate that. I'm still a believer, all right? Remember, I worked. Remember, I was in the Carpenters Union, okay? Carpenter's not who I am. Believer's who I am. Carpenter's what I do. But it doesn't change the principles that I understand about God and who I am and who I am in him and who he is in me. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus said that you are the light of the world, the salt of this earth. No matter where we go, we're supposed to be shining light. I don't care how dark it is. Listen, because when the lights get out, you light a candle, you can still see where you're going. The candle light's only this big. Correct? Everybody talking about how bad the world is, well, turn your light on. He said, you are, not you're going to be. See, we got to read the word for what it says. Jesus was telling them that you are. See, the disciples knew who they were. As this thing got closer to the end, they knew. Remember when James and John, when they went into Samaria, they didn't want to receive Jesus? They said, listen, shall we rain down fire like Elijah? They didn't say, can we? All right? These boys knew. Shall we rain down fire like Elijah did? And Jesus said, whoa, whoa, whoa. You don't know what type of spirit you are. He said, the Son of Man did not came to seek and save that which was lost. And I always say my take on it is that James, John, and Peter were not the spiritual of the bunch. They were off the chain. Jesus said, you three, I need to know where you are at all times. All right? You stay very close to me. Because we have to understand as believers, see, Jesus taught kingdom principles, all right, which meant authority because Adam lost it. But when Jesus came back and he got up out of the tomb and he met his disciple, he said, all authority. All. What's all mean? He said, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. He always had authority in the heaven. He just had to bring back what the authority that was lost on the earth. And as a body of believers connected to him, that's why he did the same, that parable about the teaching of the vine. Because the same sap that's in the vine, he said, "You, I am the true vine, you are the branches." The same sap that's in the vine should be in the branches. Same thing. Same exact thing. And once you understand kingdom, you understand principle, kingdom principles, Peter said that we are a royal nation, right? A holy priesthood. That's who we are. That's who we are. Revelations 11:15 says the kingdoms of this world are going to be the kingdoms of our God and his Christ. So my take on it is let these guys make all the money they want. Guess what? When we come back to reign and rule, that's going to be us. Right? But our job is souls because that means more to God than anything. All right? When you understand the kingdom principle, that's why Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. All right? Our job is to express the love, the forgiveness, and everything else we know about Christ to the rest of the world, to our families, to our friends, to our coworkers, to our neighbors, to your banker, all right? Your finance man or finance woman, whatever you got, that is our job as a body of believers. He said, go. See, the reason why we don't have the power, because we ain't going. We ain't going. That's where the power's at, in the going. All right? The power ain't you just coming here and then going home. The power's in you going. He said, follow me. Jesus had a keep it moving ministry. If you look at the map, 100 miles from here to New York City on foot. We got Jeeps and everything else. We don't want to go nowhere. But it's about kingdom, the kingdom principles. All right? Pray for those who despitefully use you and say all type of manner of evil against you. Pray for them. What? All right? Because you have to understand, in between the New Testament, there was 400 years of silence from the Old Testament to the New Testament. God did not have a prophet speaking for him until John the Baptist and Jesus showed up on the scene. 400 years of silence. So what happened? Them guys that were in charge, they made up 600 rules and regulations that didn't have nothing to do with the Bible. Why do you think, if you read the New Testament, why Jesus was always arguing with these guys? All right? Because they were doing their own thing. They were making it profitable for them. Listen to what he said to them. He told them, he said, listen, you all go all around the world getting proselytes, meaning evangelizing. And when you find them, you make them worse sinners in hell than yourself. Ouch. Right? So Jesus told them. You got to read this thing. We didn't have this punky Jesus, all right, that the world said Jesus was a punk. He went out. No, that was the only sacrifice that God would accept, all right? That was the only sacrifice that God would accept was the spotless lamb. And if you know anything about the Passover, listen, I was in the church for 2 years before I gave my life to Christ, all right? 2 years before I finally said yes to Jesus. Passover is those who are in charge of their families and everything. They took the lamb inside their house for 5 days to inspect the lamb to make sure the lamb was perfect before they used it for sacrifice. Jesus came into Jerusalem on the Monday, and they expected the lamb for five days until they crucified him on Friday. If you want to make an honest assessment about Jesus, then handle him. Check him and see that his life is pure. He's the sinless one. He is the one he sent. He's the one that God sent for my salvation. Don't take my word for it. I believe it. All right? That's why I go around the world. My life is always going. All right? It's always been like that. I was blessed to be in the ministry that was an ongoing ministry. I first got in ministry. I've gone to Africa twice a year. So this is what we do here at King's Fire is just something, an extension of what I always do. But God's asking his church to go. We can't talk about how bad the world is and all this stuff if you're not going. If you're not going out there, letting your light shine, showing the love of God, you ain't got to get in everybody's business. Give them a hug. A hug goes a long way nowadays. I get more conversations by opening doors. I just let people come. Hey, chivalry's dead. No, it ain't. And then conversations happen about Christ. It's just going to happen naturally if you know who you are and what you're supposed to do and follow the kingdom principles. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to their life, to your life. We're seeking all types of stuff, more houses, more cars, more this, more that, right? There's nothing wrong with it. You need a vehicle, you need a house, but if that is your whole hang-up, then you're missing the kingdom. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom, and all this stuff is going to follow you. It has no other choice. Either Jesus is lying, okay, or we're not putting him to the test. See, the church has to get back into the word of God and what the word of God says for your life. Stop allowing the word, the world to dictate who you are. Stop allowing the world to give you conversation. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. You ain't got to show your hands, but how many times have you got ungodly counsel and it went the wrong way? Right? Other than calling the pastor or somebody that you know that's been walking in the light longer than you have, and you see their life is for real, all right? And they just didn't go up to Walmart and get them Christian jeans on, all right? With the little fish on the back. That's just identification. Just like I told, just because you wear a Yankees pinstripe jersey, that doesn't mean you're on the team. You just got the jersey on, all right? And just because people say I'm a Christian doesn't necessarily mean I'm a Christian. Paul said, told the church of Corinthians, only you know if you're in the faith. All right? Because Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart, this thing will speak. You want to know if you're for real with God? Let some pressure hit you and see what comes out of that mouth. Oh, you made me do it. No, nobody's going to make you do anything. It's like Prego. It's in there. All right? And God just uses situation and circumstance for it to rise to the top. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's not like God's condemned you. He just wants you to know the condition of your heart. All right? Because if you read Jeremiah 17 and 9, he said the heart is deceitful above all things. And it is desperately wicked. Now, it would have been something if he had stopped that the heart is deceitful above all things. He said, and it's desperately wicked. Who can know it? All right? See, all of us need a heart transplant. Each and every one of us. Ezekiel, that's what he talks about. I'll take out that heart of stone, that old rebellious heart, all right? And I'll put in a heart of flesh. Now I'll put a heart that's pliable to the things of God, pliable to the words of God. Things are going to say, yes, God. Yes, God, even though he looks good or she looks good, uh-uh. All right? See, God got parameters for us. All right? God made a covenant with us with Jesus Christ, the same way you made a covenant with your bank for your car and your house and everything, saying that whatever day of the month, you're going to pay X amount of dollars till it's paid off, right? The bank sets the term. You didn't set the terms, right? When you said yes to Jesus, he sets the terms. You don't set the terms. See, and people that walk in kingdom principle and kingdom understanding understand, no, God, I got the terms. I got 66 books of a contract that says I can walk with you, and this is the way that I have to walk with you, whether I like it, whether I feel like it or not. It's not about your feelings. It ain't about your feelings. Your feelings should be dead. Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, Paul was still in the flesh. He said, the life I now live in the flesh, I live for the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. How about you? See, because when Jesus said, follow me, he meant follow him into Gethsemane, where he had to say, Father, not my will, but your will be done. He had to say that first before he went to the cross. So if we're going to follow Jesus, you got to follow him all the way. Not part of the way, or half of the way, three quarters of the way, no. If he's an all-loving, all-faithful God, then we have to give him all of us. Because God wants all or nothing. Either he's Lord of all, or he's not going to be Lord at all. Jesus said in Luke 4:46, he said, "Why do you call me Lord and don't do the things that I tell you?" See, if we're going to call him Lord, Lord is people who have relationship with him, which allows Jesus to be the supreme authority in my life, the controller, the master of my life. So that's the difference from people who just call themselves Christians and people who know what the kingdom principles are, all right? Because the kingdom has a king, all right? Isaiah says he's given us a commander and a leader, all right? Psalms 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." If you got want in your life, then you got the wrong shepherd. You got the wrong shepherd. Either you're following the wrong guy or girl, or it's yourself that is the shepherd. Because the psalmist said, "The Lord is my shepherd." That's David. He said, you know, he was a shepherd boy. He understood all this stuff. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside green pastures." If you're a shepherd and you got sheep and you take them out in that parking lot, they're going to be awful thin. But they can't eat nothing in that parking lot. They don't eat blacktop. All right? So you got the wrong shepherd. You understand what I'm saying? The kingdom principle. Who's the shepherd? Who's the Lord of my life? And that's what we get to. Because if you got lack in your life, it's because you got the wrong shepherd. Says he leads me in green pasture. He leads me beside still waters. Why? Because if he takes them by rapids, sheep are like sponge. When the water gets in the rapids, they'll drown. God knows where to take you and where not to take you. He's been at this a lot longer than you have. All right? Jeremiah 29:11 says, "I know the plans that I have for you. Plans of good and not of evil. Plans to give you a hope and plans to give you a future." All right? Psalms 139 says, David says, "Lord, you have searched me, you have known me. You know my rising up, you know my sitting down." He said, "You know my thoughts from afar off. You know every word that comes out of my mouth before I speak it." He got more information than your mother got about you. That's the guy you need to be listening to, right? Come on, that's the guy you need to be listening to. So let's get back, let's realign ourselves with God, the one we sing about. Great is your faithfulness. You never failed me yet. Either that's true in our life or it's not. You understand? We come here, these just can't be songs that we sing. This has to be what you believe. Because Jesus said in Mark 16, "These signs shall follow those who believe." It's all in your belief system. What do you truly believe of God? That "I will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I shall speak in other tongues. I will drink strong drink and it will not harm me." These are the things that Jesus said for true believers. But we have to understand that we have a king. And there is a kingdom, all right? Our citizenship is in heaven, all right? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, and I'm going to close in this. It says, all right, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all," there's that word again, "all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies," all right? What was Jesus' prayer? "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." All your spiritual blessings is up there. All you got to do is pray them down into earth. Right? That's simple enough for me. Because when he created man, it said in Genesis 1:27, God created male and female, and he blessed them. You're already blessed. Stop asking God to bless me and say, "Lord, teach me to walk in the blessings, God." You already blessed me. Teach me to walk in the blessing. Teach me, oh God. But see, if you're not teachable, God can't do nothing. You have to have a teachable spirit. And that's what kingdom people understand. I understand that he's the Lord, and I'm not. And he died to give me everything I need. Peter said, "Listen, he has given you all things that pertain to life and godliness." All things. God's not withholding anything from you. But he does require us to walk, talk, and act just like him in order for the blessings to flow through our lives. All right? Because when he told Abraham, I am going to make your name great. God don't have no problem with us being great. He told him, I'm going to make your name great. And all the nations of the earth shall be blessed by you. That was a reference of Jesus coming into the world. 42 generations it took from that promise for Jesus to show up. All right? 42 generations it took for Jesus to show up. God ain't got no problem with being great. Jesus had no problem with being great. Matter of fact, he even talked to his disciples about that when they had that little riff about who's the greatest among you. And he said, listen, let me tell you all something. You see this world and all this stuff? You see how these guys act? They rule over one another for their greatness. He said, that's not going to be with us or with you. He said, because the greatest one of all is going to be the servant of it all. And he proved it in John 13. When he took off his royal robe, put the towel around him, and went and washed the disciples' feet. The lowliest job ever was for you to wash somebody's feet when they came into your house. That was a servant. The lowliest of the servants did that. There was different servants in the house. The lowliest of the servant. Jesus, in all his deity and everything, said, let me show you how this is done. He took off his robe and he washed his disciples' feet. And he said, listen, if I be in your Lord and your master, washed your feet, he said, I've given you all an example. Wash one another's feet. That's what the Church of the Living God is all about. That's what the kingdom is all about. It's not about your title. It's about your function. Because even though I'm one of the pastors in this church, it doesn't make me any less of a man if I'm scrubbing toilets or swinging a mop. It doesn't make me any less great in the kingdom of God. You understand what I mean? It ain't about your title. It's about function. How are you functioning as a believer? How will you function as a kingdom child? What is the world seeing about your life that's going to attract you, attract them to Jesus Christ? When is somebody going to look in your life and say, I don't know what's going on in your life, but whatever you got, that's what I want. That's what I want. That's what I want. And I told her, I had an 86-year-old grandmother who used to drink. When I first got in ministry, the first ministry I was in was on TV. All right? Went to grandma's house one Thanksgiving. We ate. She cleaned the dishes and everything else. We sat down. She looked at me. She said, listen, I've been watching you for 2 years. And whatever you got, that's what I want. That's what I want. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And if you have to, use words. But your lifestyle should be enough that somebody will want to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's time for all of us to sit down and say, Lord, what do I got to do? What do I got to do, Jesus, to be as attractive as you are, that the world would want you the way the rest of the world wanted? Something for all of us to think about, right? If we're truly believers, okay, truly believing that Lord is who he says he is, and we are who we say we are, an extension of him, the world's not going to change, okay, until we see ourselves of who we really are and be willing to submit ourselves to the lordship of Jesus Christ and to tell somebody. Tell somebody. Tell somebody about Jesus. Or live a life that be the light that draw people to Jesus. That's it. This is a simple thing. Christianity is not as complicated as man has made it. God made it very simple. You were a sinner on your way to hell until Jesus said, it is finished. God's plan of redemption. Listen, they've been trying for years. The Da Vinci Code, all that stuff has been trying to stop the plan of God for mankind. You're never going to stop it. Because you know why? He said, how be it when he comes, the Holy Spirit, that he will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. If every preacher on earth stopped preaching, guess what? The Holy Spirit would still save people. There's enough evidence in creation for people to know that there is a God. But God needs feet. God needs a mouth. God needs ears. God needs arms. God needs feet. Like I said earlier, you are the body. It's time to start listening to the commanding officer because he's the head and he knows what it takes. All right? That's why I said, I will make you fishers of men. Mike's a great fisherman. He knows. He don't catch them big fish in the ocean with the same bait that you catch them sunnies on the beach. All right? It's a totally different thing. And it's when you get in a place of understanding and discipleship of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're going to learn how to do the same thing. Church, God's counting on you. You're the church, a body of baptized believers under the authority of this word. And if you're not under the word, then you need to get under the authority, all right? Because we can't call him Lord unless we're under his authority. Amen? Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father do. He was under the Father's authority. And he said of the Holy Spirit, he will not speak of his own authority. Everything is subject to God the Father. And so are we. All right? So if we're going to change this city, which we always talk about what we're going to do, New Paul, Saugerties, and everything around us, then we need to get in this instruction book and get what we need because God is counting on us. All right? God's counting on us, each and every one of us, in your own respectful place. Let us stand. Father, we just thank you right now for your word that has went forth, dear God. I pray in the name of Jesus, oh Lord, that it just touch people's heart. Everybody close their eyes. Father, I just pray, Lord, for those who heard your word, dear God, and felt something in their hearts that I'm not in the right place. I need to realign myself with you. I need to realign with you, God, because I'm out here doing my own thing, and it's getting me no results. If that's you, just put your hand up. Put your hand up. Be honest with yourself. Okay. All right. So you know what you got to do. Then you got to get in that word and realign yourself with the things of God, not the things of yourself. And if there's anybody in this room who used to be an on-fire Christian, but now you're part of the frozen chosen, put your hand up. Put your hand up. God's calling his people out. Okay, I see it. I see it. God's calling his people out. You know what to do. You need to get in that word. You need to get in that word and say, God, show me what I must do. I had such a great love for you, and it seems like it's burnt out. Listen, the world only gets dark because we refuse to shine the light. God wants to shine his light through you, church. Just make a commitment to him. Recommit. Recommit to God today. That's only between you and God. I can't make that commitment for you. I already made my commitment to God 30 years ago. Until the day I die, this is all you're going to get, like it or not, because it's an act of love. So, Father, we thank you today. We praise you today. We give you glory today. We give you honor. God, rain down upon us, oh God. Don't let us sleep, dear God, if we're not in the place we need to be. Bring irritation, whatever it may be, dear God, till we surrender and say, yes, Lord, I hear your voice. I know what I got to do. You died for my life, dear God, that I may live eternally with you. There's people perishing and dying, dear God, because I refuse to open my mouth. I refuse to go, dear God. I refuse to do the things that your word says to do, God. I repent and I'm sorry, Lord. You said if I confess my sin, you're faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So I'm asking you to clean me today, dear God. Use me again, dear God. Here I am. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.